Bronco.
Senator Reed and I are both from the West. I'm from West Texas. He's from Nevada.
Right in my day.
Well, that's certainly relevant information there about Harry Reid. I'm from West Texas. He's from Nevada. Hey, Truth Seekers, good evening. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks very much for tuning in on this Friday evening. If you would like to join in the fun and frivolity tonight via the telephone, the number is 800-939-1480. Again, I want to give a shout-out to the neocons who have suddenly turned mute. You Republicans, you Bush lovers, give us a call. In the newfound spirit of bipartisanship and peace and love and understanding, and
can't we just all get along,
that the Bush crime family has suddenly embraced, I'd love to hear from you right-wingers tonight. I won't bite you. Speaking of kissy face, did you see Bush snuggle up to Harry Reid today? First Pelosi and today Reid. Rove must have had to go into hiding and triple his meds. Oh, my God. There he sat, forced to become the new Senate Majority Leader to the White House, or forced to welcome, I should say, the new Senate Majority Leader to the White House. You know this to be true. Never in Bush's worst nightmare did he ever fathom such a day as yesterday and today that his party would lose the Senate too, right? Bush has become unstuck in time, as Billy Pilgrim would say. All right, stick around. We have a Good News Week audio montage from clips that we played this week. You got to hear the lies and flip-flops to believe them. I think everybody is on that montage tonight, from Sugar Lips to the snowman to Bush to the Rumsfeld. Oh, my God. It just goes on and on and on. You got to hear it. MSNBC polls, these online polls, are, you know, they've always been kind of fun to take, but they're about as scientific as, you know, a Sharpie accent pen. But I like to do them anyway. Normally, when you see those polls, maybe 80, 90,000 people, 100,000 people will respond on a good day. Nearly 500,000 responses today. The question was, do you believe President Bush's actions justify impeachment? 87% said yes. Between the secret spying, the deceptions leading to war, there's plenty to justify putting him on trial. Of course, impeachment is not the trial, but never mind. 4.4% said no. Doesn't justify impeachment. Like any president, he's made a few missteps. But nothing approaching high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, MSNBC wrote the question, but 4.4% of people who responded to the poll, with 500,000 responses, that's what, 20,000 people said, well, yeah, they made a few missteps, but nothing approaching high crimes and misdemeanors. To those people, there is no such thing as a high crime and misdemeanor, unless, of course, they caught George in bed with a man. Then it would be take him out immediately and beat him to death with Bibles or something. I don't know. 6.6% said no, the man has done absolutely nothing wrong. Impeachment would just be a political lynching. And 1.9% said, I don't know. That's more like 400,000 responses, Mike. Come on, don't exaggerate. Let me rephrase it. Has Bush's smarmy comments to first Nancy Pelosi yesterday, Harry Reid today, is that not getting to you a little bit? And Dick Durbin was in on the meeting today, too, because I guess he's going to be, what, the majority whip or the floor leader or something, Illinois' Dick Durbin. And there they all sat in blue neckties. And even Cyborg Man, this evil monster, Dick Cheney, they, you know, lifted the lid. Got him out, shook the dirt off him in broad daylight, and had him sit there, too.
I don't know. I think our energy policy is just wonderful.
And there they all sat, all of them with blue ties on. And leave it to Leave it to Dick Durbin to say, well, it looks like the blue ties here are in a spirit of cooperation. You know, and I don't know. Dick Durbin, I love Dick Durbin. I think he's great. When he made a comparison to Nazis regarding how prisoners were treated at Abu Ghraib, he had to fall over himself with tears in his eyes and apologize. I don't know who he apologized. Who did he apologize to? He apologized to the Republicans, to the soldiers, to the Jews, to the... I don't know. He apologized to everybody. He stood there, and I just thought, Dick, why don't you give them all the finger and just say you meant what you said, and you said what you meant? Oy. But no. But anyway, there was Dick. All right, Dick. Good for you, Dick. But this attitude that Bush is trying to display now is so patently false. This is a lying son of a bitch, okay? We all know it. He lied the nation into a war. He lied us into a situation where just every single regulatory agency in this country has been gutted. I mean, I'm not going to go down the list. He's a liar. He is a pathological liar. And the pig man, you know, Rush Limbaugh lies. These guys have really gone over the top, by the way, haven't they? The right-wing insane talk show hosts, even though they have been marginalized now to the point where they really are just inconsequential. I'm sure people continue to listen for the geek and freak value. But, you know, some of the things were said prior to this, to the voting, that, you know, the Democrats are, you know, you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for terrorism. Statements like that really get my Irish-Italian up. And that's when, seriously, if I were in a room with somebody who said that, another American who said that, a Republican who said that, I would beat his ass until one of us got hauled away by the police. I swear to God, people don't question my loyalty or patriotism to this country that way. They just don't. And to know that this scum was out there every single day for the past 3 years, and especially the lead up to the election. This right-wing scum on radio, and some of them on television, making those kinds of statements. Didn't you? You know you felt the same way. You felt the same. You know you did. So I'm saying it. And you know you felt it, just like I did. If one of those people would have said something to you, it didn't have to be a talk show host. It could have been somebody at a grocery store checkout line or I don't know, just on the street. If somebody would have come up to you and said, oh, you're a Democrat? Well, you support terrorism. You want this country to have a couple of nukes dropped on us, right? You would have beat the living Christ out of them. You know you would have, and so would I have. Or you would have made the effort. You would have made the effort. Okay, now we got that cleared off. But all this kissy face stuff, you know, it's so fake on the part of Bush. Now, I don't know what Pelosi and Reid are up to. Fine, just go along with it. Go along with it, folks. That's what you have to do as responsible politicians now. You're no longer going to have to hold your caucuses in a broom closet in the basement. You're going to be able to actually sit there like grown-ups. Yeah. And if you want to let the Republicans sit there like grown-ups, that's good. That's good. You know. And as far as subpoenas, back in 1994, when Newt Gingrich, that pig's so-called revolution occurred, and 56 members, I think it was 54, 56, 72, I don't remember what the number was, but as soon as the Republicans got control, more than 1,000 subpoenas were issued by the Republicans against the Clinton administration on all levels. And now these folks are saying, oh, well, okay, oh, shucks, I don't know, let's get along, okay? Oh, my God, let's just get along.
And don't forget one of my personal favorites, how they would give them the bills and the information they were going to vote on hours before they expected them to vote, then said Democrats were thwarting the democratic process.
Oh, I know. There's just so much. And I you know, I don't know if Pelosi and Reid want to let bygones be bygones and act like responsible adults. Okay, that's fine. But understand one thing. We have a horrifying mess to clean up that these pigs have handed us, the Republican Party over the past 12 years and the Bush crime family over the last six. It's a horrific mess, and I hope we can do it. And I just hope we can do it. But if we do get things straightened out, and I will guarantee you that when the next election cycle comes up, the pigs will be out there again, once again, and this bipartisanship, oh, please, give me a break. You know as well as I do to be flushed down the toilet with the rest of the crap. So, you know, brace yourself, truth seekers. I don't know what Pelosi and Reid will do ultimately, but I hope there's some accountability. Don't you? Don't you hope that there's some accountability to have experienced what we've experienced for the past 12 years, the past 6 years, and just go, oh, yawn, ho-hum, let's move on? I don't think so. Idea why Kathy played that bumper music. I love that. I happen to like that song. I like that kind of mushy, stupid, you know, commercial rock once in a while. Air Supply? Kathy says, "Am I having you name the group?" Yeah, Air Supply. Oh my God. Why did you play that?
My mother used to call it Oxygen Tank. Oh, I'm just, I love songs. You know, can't we all get along?
Can't we all get along? Oh,
kissy,
I got it.
Kissy.
Okay.
I love Democrats.
Yeah. Very quickly, I just want to share this with you. Sheila Samples is a writer who writes for an awful lot of online and not online publications, and she's written some real nice things about me, bless her heart. Anyway, she got an email that said the following to Sheila. Any idea how I can get the Nova M radio show here in Prague? That would be Czechoslovakia. You wrote so revealingly about it that I am anxious to hear it somehow. Thanks. And then the signature. And then Sheila wrote back, hi, I listen to Mike on my computer. And she gives the stream address. If you want to visit the Nova M site, you can go. You can get info on podcasting at novaradio.com. Or you can go to White Rose Society, blah, 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 download the shows. Thanks so much for asking. And then the lady in Prague wrote back, gee, Sheila, I didn't expect an answer, and so quickly. Now, just hope I can do it. If not, I will have to wait till one of my computer guru types comes by to help. I am often at sea with what I am trying to do on my computer. But after all, at 81 years old, I am still slowly playing catch-up with everything in this, quote, brave new world, end quote. At least it is for me. I love that expression. I'm often at sea with what I'm trying to do. That's an older person say. Well, if the woman's name is Peggy. And Peggy, if you're listening tonight, thank you very much. Prague, Czechoslovakia. I'd be curious to know if you're an expatriate American, if you're there on business, or if you maybe have moved there. Or if you are a very articulate Czech or a Slovakian, I'd love to hear from you. Prague. That's nice. And thanks to Sheila for sending that on. This is from Bob in Boston. Hi, Mike. Are you up for some more conspiracy theory? Put on your tinfoil hat. Ned Lamont, in this last election, in the primary, 2006, received the exact same number of votes as Joe Lieberman's challenger, Phil Giordano, in the 2000 election. What's the odds of that happening? Here are the election results to verify it. Now this this was the election the other night. Lamont, and I'm looking at the Connecticut Senate race, CNN, Connecticut election results. Lamont got 448,077 votes, 448,077. That was Tuesday night. In 2000, Phil Giordano, the Republican running against Lieberman, got 448,077. Hey, Al Franken, how about this, buddy? They can't jigger the machines, can they? Somebody ought to send this to Franken. Because what did Franken say the other day? The election proves that you can't tamper the machines. And he really kind of irritated me when he said that. But the Bob in Boston sent this on. This is astonishing. Did you see this, Kathy? Just the other night, Lamont got 448,077, 40% of the vote. And the Republican got 10% of the vote. Lieberman got 50% of the vote with 562,000, which means that all the Republicans voted for Lieberman. But this chance here of the votes in 2000 and 2006, and Lieberman's two opponents in 2006, Ned Lamont, and in 2000, Phil Giordano, and their vote totals are exactly the same? And in both instances, it's with 100% of the precincts reporting.
Welcome to the new American century.
Now, somebody ought to report that. Somebody ought to send this to Keith Olbermann. Let him put it up on the TV screen so people can take a look at that and go, well, I'll be damned. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I want to build more bombs than I can send. Welcome to the new America.
Here comes the revolution. Time for retribution. Here comes the revolution.
The Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
You don't say, does it really, you wascally wabbit? That's not funny if you're one of the families whose son or daughter or husband or uncle or father has been killed in Bush's war. And that's whether you are Iraqi or American. Death's a death, right? All right. Master Mike writes, correction on the CNN site, Lamont didn't have the same total as a Republican in 2000. CNN got it wrong. Go to the Secretary of State website for Connecticut, and it shows Lamont got 564,086. Yeah, well, okay. It was a good story for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, do you believe the correction or the lie?
I believe Mike, Master Mike here. Absolutely.
Kind of like the AP vote total on Webb up there in Virginia that just kept flipping back and forth with Macaca Man.
Right. That was CNN, too, wasn't it? Oh. Steve Watson, writing at Infowars.net, which is one of the websites of Alex Jones's websites. Steve Watson writes, the latest Democrat savior, I didn't hear this today, but this is today, the latest Democrat, quote, savior, close quote, that's Steve's way of putting it, to flip-flop 180 degrees in light of their victory is Representative John Conyers. Democrat in Michigan, presumed to become chairman of the House Judiciary Committee in January, Conyers today said that impeachment of Bush is off the table. Conyers said in a statement released by his Judiciary Committee spokesman, quote, in this campaign, there was an orchestrated right-wing effort to distort my position on impeachment. The incoming speaker has said that impeachment is off the table. I am in total agreement with her on this issue. Impeachment is off the table, end quote. And Watson writes, Conyers seems to have forgotten that last December he laid out the grounds for impeachment in a 350-page long report called The Constitution in Crisis, The Downing Street Minutes, and Deception, Manipulation, Torture, Retribution, and Cover-ups in the Iraq War, close quote. He later updated the report to add illegal domestic surveillance. Okay, I said last night, smarter heads than mine. I'm not a politician. I'm a radio talk show host, but I don't know. I'm starting to get kind of an uncomfortable feeling, and I know a lot of real genuine liberals and left-wingers would say, well, what do you expect, Molloy? You didn't think the Democrats are going to be any different from the Republicans, did you? And I hate that, see, because I do see a difference in the parties and the leadership and the people who become Democrats, the people who become Republicans. We'll see. Again, the tactic here may be to go ahead and have hearings, try to get to some truths, and let the public decide. In the MSNBC poll, with almost 400,000 people responding, the public has decided by an enormous, unbelievable, cataclysmic margin. 86% of the people, and it's a self-selecting poll, so I'm not giving any credence other than the credence I'm giving it. What did he say? 86% favor impeachment because of the crimes of this freak. We'll see. Secretary of State Rice says the Democratic wave that won the party, or won the control of Congress, did nothing to deter the Bush administration from continuing its Iraq mission until, quote, the goal that took us to Iraq, close quote, is reached. Well, Condi, what took you to Iraq was a series of severe lies. What is wrong with you, schoolmarm? Now, let's set the lies aside. We have destroyed the country. We have turned it into a failed state. We have created, in the vacuum that we've created, fertile grounds for the Islamic Republic of Iraq to be established. That's neither good nor bad, I guess, depending on your point of view. But we have captured and put on trial and will execute the leader. There were no weapons. He's not a threat. And what is the mission, you psycho? Rice is like the rest of these people. The mission. Look, Mussolini was killed by his own people. Okay, that ended the Italian aspect of World War II. Hitler committed suicide. Okay, that ended that part. Tojo was shot out of the sky. Okay, that ended that. They were all dead. Condi, if the Americans get their way, or our way, not my way, if the American government gets its way, Saddam will soon be dead. What the hell do you want? What is the goal? This is really driving me crazy. And they want cooperation? Don't tell me Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi is going to cooperate with this insanity. According to the Associated Press, Rice said Bush has promised that we will certainly make adjustments to our policy. We will certainly look at new ideas. But while the American people clearly were voting for change, they were not voting for anything less than a success in Iraq. What? Success in Iraq, Rice, is to get the hell out! We have no business being there. Honest to God, you nutball, we have no reason to be there. None! Oh, God, it just doesn't stop with these people, does it? Huh?
A Mississippi congressman says Representative Charles Rangel of New York, a Democrat, owes that southern state, Mississippi, an apology. And the Mississippi congressman asked if insults are what Mississippi should expect when Democrats take over leadership in Congress. Rangel, a Democrat, was quoted in the New York Times on Thursday saying, quote,
Mississippi gets more than their fair share back in federal money, but who the hell wants to live in Mississippi? End quote. Rangel said he didn't intend to insult the state, but Representative Chip Pickering, Republican of Mississippi, issued a sharp statement criticizing the choice of words. Pickering said, "I hope his remarks are not the kind of insult, slander, and defamation that Mississippians will come to expect from the Democrat leadership in Washington, D.C., end quote. I got two words for you, Pickering. Philadelphia, Mississippi. I'll tell you, Republicans are the whiny asses. They're just whiny asses, aren't they? I don't care if they're members of the House or the Senate. I don't care if they work in the Bush crime family. I don't care if they're your next-door neighbor. They are whiny little children. They will say anything. They equate Democrats with terrorists. They tell us that if we vote for a Democrat, we are voting to bring nuclear bombs into our cities. And yet these whiny little bastards, when somebody said, Mississippi, who the hell wants to live in Mississippi? Oh, God, you just insulted me, sir. I challenge you to a duel.
Now, wait a minute, that was Zell Miller.
And besides, isn't Charlie Rangel a Negro? I'm a white man. I am Chip Pickering. That's not my real name. My real first name is Hogass, but they call me Chip.
Incredible. He insulted Mississippi. No offense, Sarge. And the Democrats may not have to do anything. Rumsfeld is about to face some more repercussions for his involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. This, according to Time magazine, Adam Zagorin, new legal documents to be filed next week with Germany's top prosecutor will seek a criminal investigation and prosecution of Rumsfeld, along with Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, former CIA Director George Tenet, and other senior U.S. civilians and military officers for their roles, or as Adam puts it, alleged roles in abuses committed at Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison and the U.S. detention facility in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The plaintiffs in the case include 11 Iraqis who were prisoners at Abu Ghraib, as well as Mohammed al-Qahtani, a Saudi held at Guantanamo, whom the U.S. has identified as the so-called 20th hijacker and a would-be participant in the 9/11 hijackings. As Time reported first in June 2005, Qahtani underwent, quote, a special interrogation plan, end quote, which included nudity, sexual humiliation, religious humiliation, prolonged stress position, sleep deprivation, and other, as Time puts it, controversial interrogation techniques. But a rational, sane human being would say, oh, you mean torture! There's more here. I'll share it with you when we come back. This is Nova M. Almost at Air America. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Who say the folks up north, they just don't understand, and they tremble in the shadows at the thunder of the clan. Oh, the sweating of their souls can wash the blood from off their hands. For they smile and shrug their shoulders at the murder of a man. Whoa, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of.
As you know, Vladimir Putin and I have got a good personal relationship. This is a vital and important relationship, and the relationship's an important relationship, and I would call the relationship a good relationship.
God. I'm the decider. The These documents that are going to be filed next week, the Germany's top prosecutor goes after Rumsfeld, Gonzalez, Tenet, senior U.S. civilian and military officers for their roles in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. Lawyers for the plaintiffs here say that one of the witnesses who will testify on their behalf is former Brigadier General Janis Karpinski, the one-time commander of all U.S. military prisons in Iraq. Karpinski will be in Germany next week to address her accusation publicly in the case. She has issued a written statement to accompany the legal filing, which says, this is an American Brigadier General, one star, it says in part, quote, "It was clear the knowledge and responsibility for what happened to Abu Ghraib goes all the way to the top of the chain of command to the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld." A spokesperson for the Pentagon told Time there would be no comment since the case not yet been filed. Along with Rumsfeld, Gonzalez, and Tenet, the other defendants in the case are Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence Stephen Cambone, former Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Yoo. He's the one that wrote the torture. He tortured the law to the point where the law said, "Okay, you can have torture." General Counsel for the Department of Defense William James Haynes II. And Cheney's Chief of Staff, David Addington. Senior military officials, officers named in the filing are General Ricardo Sanchez, General Jeffrey Miller, former commander of Guantanamo, Senior Iraq Commander Major General Walter Wojtkowski, and Colonel Thomas Pappas, the one-time head of military intelligence at Abu Ghraib. Germany was chosen for the court filing because German law provides, quote, universal jurisdiction, end quote, allowing for the prosecution of war crimes and related offenses that take place anywhere in the world. Isn't that interesting? That is a direct result of what happened at Nuremberg in 1946 when the Allies sent how many people to the gallows and how many to prison for their war crimes committed in World War II? Rumsfeld's resignation, the plaintiffs say, means that the former defense secretary will lose the legal immunity usually accorded high government officials, not the plaintiffs in here, but the German court. Moreover, the plaintiffs argue that the German prosecutor's reasoning for rejecting the previous case, this was done back in 2004, has been proven wrong. See, back in 2004, this action was tried, and it went nowhere because the German prosecutor back then announced that he would not pursue the matter because he said there was no indication that U.S. authorities and courts would not deal with the allegations in the complaint themselves. And we know what has happened. A couple of privates have been cashiered. So maybe it doesn't make any difference what the Democratic Party leadership decides to do or not to do. Now, if these cases go forward and they're found guilty, how are they enforced? Well, warrants are issued. Anyone can clap irons around them, I guess, and take them to face their accusers in this German court. Time then says U.S. officials have long feared that legal proceedings against war criminals could be used to settle political scores. In 1998, for example, former Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet, whose military coup was supported by the Nixon administration, yeah, that was when Pinochet had Salvador Allende assassinated, and Nixon and Kissinger were in on that, especially Kissinger. Pinochet was arrested in the UK and held for 16 months in an extradition battle led by a Spanish magistrate seeking to charge him with war crimes. He was ultimately released and returned to Chile. More recently, a Belgian court tried to bring charges against then-Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon for crimes against Palestinians. And for its part, the Bush administration has rejected adherence to the International Criminal Court on grounds that it could be used to unjustly prosecute U.S. officials. The International Criminal Court is the first permanent tribunal established to prosecute war crimes, genocide, and other crimes against humanity. You know, you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas, right? This idea that for some reason the actions taken by top-level American Defense Department officials, including this murderous old bastard Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, and people under their direct command and control, that somehow they're immune
They have immunity. They can torture and murder and destabilize and overthrow and cause the deaths of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and they are not to be held accountable? Is this what Pelosi say? Is this what? No, please, Representative Conyers, say it ain't so. So we have to go to a German court? There's not a court in the United States that will say, okay, bring charges, Democrats, bring charges. Let's hear it. I'm starting to get a queasy feeling. All right, well, I got back-to-back emails here with different points of view on this, and I want to share them for you when we come back after the break. But see, this is how these murderous Republican bastards and their enablers in media have hung up those of us who still have a working conscience, who still have the ability to determine the difference between right and wrong, between legal acts and criminal acts. We're kind of caught here on the horns of a dilemma, right? If we seek justice that we would seek, you know, Saddam, we put him on trial for his life for the death of 168 people in a town where somebody tried to assassinate him. 168 people, and he was found guilty, as he should have been, I guess, and sentenced to death. Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld are responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands. And what are we going to do? Welcome back. It's about 6 past the hour. We're going to get to this nomination of Robert Gates in just a second here. This guy is filthy. This Robert Gates is out of the same group as Negroponte and Bolton and Poindexter, the rest of these killers from the Central American years. We'll get to that in just a second. All right, this came in from Sweet M. Mike, don't get me wrong. I'm overjoyed about the election results and feel I can finally breathe a small sigh of relief. And I also love being able to gloat. But with all the much-deserved celebration and gloating going on lately, I fear that many of us progressives are too busy partying right now to notice the big blue dog in the room. It was absolutely necessary to marginalize Bush in order to stop the bleeding, and that has been done. He is marginalized. And there are now limits to how much more damage he and his crime family can inflict. But this was the first battle in a war against fascism, and if we take our eyes off the goal, we may just lose it. Rahm Emanuel has already stated that he has no intentions of letting the, quote, liberal wing, close quote, of the Democratic Party take over. He is now throwing in for House leadership. Murtha and Hoyer want to battle it out for majority leader. Hoyer is a staunch supporter of the war in Iraq. Pelosi and Hoyer had a luncheon with Bush yesterday. Today, Carville came out and openly challenged Howard Dean as the DNC chair. Said he wanted Harold Ford Jr., the one who just lost in Tennessee after spending the entire election stumping for Jesus. Sheldon Drobny, who called in last night, sees what's going on here, and I think last night when he called in, he was really trying to sound the warning alarms. He also posted at Huffington Post about the issue today. HuffingtonPost.com. So here's my point, Sweet M writes. Bush is toast, but the battle continues. One thing has become painfully clear to me, and that is that the Democratic Party is not our only hope in this battle against fascism and illegal wars and on and on and on. The Netroots progressive liberal wing of the Democratic Party is. And now that the Democrats are in power, the attempts to marginalize and stop that wing of the party are coming from every direction. The gloves are off and the war is on. It's time for us to stop celebrating and get back to work before we lose our Democratic Party just the same way real Republicans lost their party a long time ago. They at least have somewhere else to go. They can find refuge in the DLC. If we are marginalized by these right-wingers posing as Democrats, then where do we have left to go? Mike, if you agree with any of this, please address these issues because these DLC pigs have all the money. They're the ones that suck up to the corporatocracy. We have the people, and one of the best ways to get a message out to a lot of people is sitting right in front of you. Thanks. Oh, that would be this. No, I get your point, Sweet M. We've been talking about this before this election. I can remember sitting here saying, just vote for the person with a D behind their name and we'll purge the party later. Well, we've got and I stick by that. Now, here's a different point of view here from Bridget. She writes, Mike, I think what we are really seeing with Harry Reid and especially Nancy Pelosi is a visible sweetness and a behind the scenes dragon breath. I suspect that all we will see on the surface is cordiality and professional niceness, but behind the scenes, they will be out for blood. Neither Pelosi nor Reid nor any of the Dems want to be seen as vindictive or as predators, but Mike, they're politicians. I don't believe for a moment that they won't go for the jugular every chance they get, smiling sweetly, of course. They will hold hearings, they will call people to testify under oath, and they will continue to do what they have been doing, let the truth come out for the people to see. Then when the people demand that impeachment proceedings be held, well, gosh, they will have to do what the people want, won't they? These people are all predators, Mike, but even the rattlesnake lies quietly in the sun until he gets pissed off. Then watch out. Yeah. But I do agree that the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, the Netroots, the people who really made this happen, have got to control the direction the Democratic Party is heading. And if not, if that doesn't happen, and this thing devolves into... Like a lot of liberals have said, you know, I've been told so many times my head spins. Beloy, you don't know what you're talking about. The Democrats and Republicans are exactly the same. And sometimes I've said, yeah, the Democrats and Republicans. Blah, blah, blah. Other times I've said, no, that's not true. Not real Democrats. We'll see. Anita writes in, Mike, please suggest that people listen to the last 15 minutes of Democracy Now! That was broadcast today. Go to democracynow.org. Former Representative Liz Holtzman and Daniel Ellsberg describe how the public, who had just overwhelmingly reelected Richard Nixon, demanded that he be impeached. Representative Conyers has said it was off the table even before this election. He's a very smart man. Like you said last night, patience. However, it wouldn't hurt to keep putting the word into the universe. The public moves slowly, but they eventually move. And Seth writes in, Mike, I personally think impeachment is too good for these bastards. They should be, oops, I can't say that. But since that's not going to happen, I'll be happy to see the Congress put social programs after social program on Bush's desk. Then we will either get health care, minimum living wages, etc., or we have major fodder for 08 if these things get vetoed. It is time to neuter these pigs with Roosevelt-style humanity. And then this last one, this is from Bruce. Michael, some cooperation is needed, but those responsible for policies that have decimated the middle class, screwed up Katrina and 9/11, made Iraq and our soldiers bleed without justification, must be dealt with. Bush's, yes, I know, I've been a bad boy, just doesn't cut it with me, Mike. And Nancy and Harry better understand that as well. Do I want revenge? No. I want justice. Justice for me, and justice for others who have suffered under this administration needlessly. Well, we'll see, won't we? Let's do some phone calls here before we move on. The call screen is kind of frozen. No, is that it? Okay, there we go. All right, let's start with Teresa. Teresa, welcome to the program. Hey, Teresa.
Hello.
Teresa, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I've been listening to you last night and tonight, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that Nancy and Harry ought to really get tough with Bush, because I believe that they have a feeling they might cave in to him because, you know, his charm offensive, ha-ha, you know.
Well, what I would be afraid of would be what some of the people who have sent emails here that I've been reading on the phone, that and what I know. I mean, I'm not naive as to believe that the Democratic Party, as it's presently constituted, is all about justice. It's not. It's all about power, just like the Republican Party. The difference between the two, in my opinion, is that Republican politicians are about a millimeter below the surface, incipient Nazis. Democrats, about a millimeter below the surface, are kind of get along, go along, let's not make waves, everything will be okay if we just don't assert ourselves and don't demand that the Constitution be followed. Now, I would rather fight against the incipient Nazis, because at least I know exactly where they stand, right?
Exactly.
Well, I hope what we're seeing here is just kind of the shock and awe that comes after you've been in the wilderness for 12 years and all of a sudden you're in power again. Let's hope that's what it is. Eh, Teresa?
Yes, I do hope so. I was surprised about this German.
The court?
I hope that German court, I never heard of that before.
Yeah,
I hope that goes through.
Yeah, the International ICC, International whatever court, that was constituted, the criminal court, it was constituted after... or based on the decisions that were made at Nuremberg, that you know, people could not commit crimes against humanity and cause mass death and illegally invade countries without consequences. And this is precisely what Bush has done and his administration. So if we don't prosecute, if we don't impeach, let's all stand back and point fingers at each other and scream the word hypocrite. Teresa, thanks. I appreciate you checking in.
Oh, listen, I wish it could be heard all over the world. Your message is so good.
Well, that would be great. Thanks, Teresa. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
We're going to make elections.
Are you always in confusion? 21 past the hour. All right. We used to do this. We haven't done it for a while. Well, hell, we've been off the air for 9 weeks. Good News Week, where our producer here, Catherine Bay, takes a bunch of actual sound that we've played on this program that some of these freaks have said, And a few normal people, and put it together into a tapestry. What do I want to call it? Is that good? You like tapestry? All right, here we go. This is this week's Good News Week. Well, in a minute.
Democrats are in the business of thwarting the democratic process.
We will hold the majority.
We meet at dawn.
I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election.
A lot of folks have been asking about the recount. Let me tell you about the recount.
It was a thumping.
Do not wish to cause more rancor by protracted litigation, which would, in my judgment, not alter the results.
I am making a change at the Secretary of Defense.
President has great confidence in Donna Rumsfeld.
Bring a fresh perspective as to how to achieve something I think most Americans want, which is a victory.
Great respect that I have for your leadership, Mr. President, in this little understood, unfamiliar war.
While we have been adjusting, we will continue to adjust.
I have benefited greatly from criticism.
Constantly assessing. I'm assessing as well all the time. By myself. And that requires constant assessment.
At no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
Somehow it seeped in their conscience that my attitude was just simply stay the course. We're constantly looking for fresh perspective. I've been talking with Don Rumsfeld over a period of time about fresh perspective. He likes to call it fresh eyes.
Don Rumsfeld and the president talking about the need for fresh eyes.
It is not well known. It was not well understood. It is complex for people to comprehend.
I didn't want to inject a major decision about this war in the final days of a campaign.
Good question for which there was not a simple and easy answer.
So the only way to answer that question and to get you on to another question was to give you that answer.
I don't know. Get back to me. You know, I've given you about all I know, and I don't know a whole lot more. Don't know. Let me get back to you. Trying to think that one through. I don't have the insights you want. And like I said, I don't know. No, you don't. No, you don't know. I'm not sure. Look, I don't know. I just don't know. I can't help you.
This is a close election, but I thought we were going to be fine in the election. It was a thumping. I look forward to working with them. And I truly believe that Congresswoman Pelosi and Harry Reid care just about as much. You know, they care about the security of this country like I do.
They're the cut-and-run Democrats, Jack Murtha, Pelosi.
And now we're going to work together for 2 years to accomplish big objectives for the country.
Republicans and Democrats are equally as patriotic.
If we leave Iraq before the job is done, the enemy will follow us here.
First, I want to congratulate Congresswoman Pelosi for becoming the Speaker of the House.
The Democrats want to get us out of Iraq.
That doesn't mean they don't want America to get attacked.
Almost as if the Democrats, it's like they are content with losing.
As a father of young women, it is, I think it's an important. I really do. Senator Reid and I are both from the West.
Pull out to withdraw from this war is losing.
Come on, folks. Everybody knows they've tried to sabotage victory in this war.
Envision a world in which a country which can't stand America has a nuclear weapon.
They do want to lose.
And that's what's at stake in this election.
What's changed today is the election's over, and the Democrats won.
We love America equally.
Democrats are going to support our troops just like Republicans will.
The Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win, and America loses.
We do agree that we love America equally.
Saddam Hussein would never have been convicted for war crimes if we had listened to Democrats.
This is the beginning of a series of meetings we'll have over the next couple of years, all aimed at solving problems and leading the country.
Over time, the contributions you've made will be recorded by history.
Pretty much summarized them.
Say, why all the glum faces?
What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? What's the weather like today? It's good news week.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Huh?
The pig man ought to be put out of his misery. He really should. The pig man is really, really, really getting on my nerves. And I'm not quite sure how to handle it. I guess I have to handle it the way everybody else does. Just ignore him. We'll be back after the break. This is NOVAM Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
What happens in those forests, because of lousy federal policy, is they grow to be they're not harvested. Technology is going to change the way we live for the good for the environment. That's why I proposed a hydrogen automobile, hydrogen generated automobile.
Justice and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. I think a clear indication of how the Democrats are going to respond to the corruption of the Bush crime family will be seen very quickly in the nomination of Robert Gates to succeed the psychopathic Donald Rumsfeld. A lot of respectable, and that means mostly online, writers are starting to bring the truth out about this guy because, you know, we're Americans. We do not have institutional memory. We certainly don't have political memory except for the high spots, you know, Nixon's impeachment, Kennedy's assassination, and a few non-online writers are also bringing it out. The Baltimore Sun, Melvin Goodman, has a good piece that came out today. Jason Leopold, writing at truthout.org, probably has the most comprehensive piece out. There's a bunch more. They're all over the Robert Perry, of course, at consortiumnews.com, has written extensively on Gates. Of course, Perry's been writing about the horror that was Iran-Contra for 25 years. Two previous presidents, Goodman wrote this at the Baltimore Sun today, two previous presidents, Reagan and Bush, George Herbert Bush, nominated Gates for the position of director of CIA. In 1987, Gates had to withdraw his name. This was Ronald Reagan nominated him because a majority of Senate Intelligence Committee members did not believe his denials regarding prior knowledge of the Iran-Contra scandal. And Lawrence Walsh, the Republican special prosecutor, also did not believe Gates. In other words, he sat there under oath and lied, like so many Republicans will do. Goodman goes on to say, in 1991, Mr. Gates was confirmed after receiving more than 30 negative votes, far more than any other nominee to the position of DCIA had garnered over nearly 60 years. Key senators were convinced in 1991 that Gates had a major role in the politicization of intelligence on the Soviet Union, Central America, and Southwest Asia. That would be Iran and Iraq and so on and so forth. During his testimony, Gates, known for his outstanding memory, testified 33 times that he did not have any recollection of the facts of Iran-Contra. Now, let me interject here. The one thing that Robert Gates is a liar. He is an absolute liar. He's also a Kissinger protege, which means he's capable of and has participated in the machinations of mass murder. Goodman goes on to say, Gates became the first career CIA analyst to take over the reins of the agency, ultimately doing more harm to the mission and mandate of the CIA's intelligence directorate than any previous director, even his mentor, William Casey. His strong ideological agenda in support of the White House often led him down the wrong analytical road, causing him to be wrong about the central issues of the day involving the decline and fall of the Soviet Union and the impact of ethnic violence on regional conflicts. And it goes on and on and on and on and on about this evil bastard. Now, I'm telling you something. Gates, if you want to know more about his involvement in Iran-Contra, Robert Perry reported a long time ago that Gates was hip deep in what was probably the greatest act of treason in American history since Benedict Arnold. And that was the October surprise of 1980. Now, where did I get this, Kathy? I'm not sure where I got this. Kurt Nimmo, this is, I guess this is Kurt Nimmo writing. When vice presidential candidate and former CIA chief George Herbert Bush and his CIA moles cut a secret deal with Iran to keep the American hostages held captive until after the election and Reagan's inauguration. In return, Bush the First and his boss Reagan agreed to unfreeze Iranian assets in the U.S., release $150 million in pre-revolution military equipment for Iran that Jimmy Carter had impounded after the Shah was overthrown, and promises to Iran a future secret military aid, which ultimately was funneled to the Iranians through Israel.
These secret negotiations with an avowed enemy of America behind the back of the elected government, all for partisan political benefit, was, of course, an act of high treason. Gates was there, undermining the very government he was sworn to serve. With this rank transgression, he made his bones with the Bush family and has since reaped copious rewards. Now he's back to rescue the traitor's son from the consequences of his murderous stupidity. And there's more and more. Ray McGovern wrote a piece at Tom Paine. Ray McGovern, the former CIA analyst, 30 years as a CIA analyst, TomPaine.com. It was put up yesterday. It's called the Cheney Gates Cabal. So there's an awful lot out there now for common folk like you and me to read, so that the important people, that would be the Democratic Party leadership, will not be able to say to us, as they have been saying over the past 6 years, well, we're not going to filibuster. Well, we're not going to. Well, we're not going. Well, we're going to wait for something. But well, we're not going to. Well, we don't want to. Well, you know, we want to make sure. Well, aren't you sick of that? So am I. Now, a decent leader, which Bush is not, never could be, would hold off on this. They're going to try to ram through Bolton's nomination, another Iran-Contra killer, who is the interim or the temporary or the recess-appointed U.N. ambassador right now. Have you noticed how many killers that came out of Reagan-Bush 1 years who made their bones, got their blood, their first taste of drinking blood in Central America, how many of those people have been deciding U.S. policy in Southwest Asia, Iran, Iraq, and into the Middle East? How many of these people? Everybody from Negroponte to Poindexter. Oliver North is still in there somewhere doing his deviltry. Now this Gates guy. The list goes on. Elliot Abrams, who has burrowed his way into the United States State Department, head of Middle Eastern Affairs, a convicted criminal, for God's sake. All of these people up to their necks in blood. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of deaths in Central America. For what? Nicaragua just elected Daniel Ortega. But here they are again. So, I think we will get a clear indication very early here on this nomination of Robert Gates and the attempt by Bush to push through his many times murdered nomination of Bolton, John Bolton, at the UN, and see how the Democrats act. Now, the Democrats still are the minority party and will be until January, but they have enough votes to stop this. They have enough votes to put a hold on this. They can do it. They absolutely can do it if they make the effort. Now, what do you think is going to happen? As far as Gates assuming control of the Defense Department, he is a liar. He has participated in acts of treason against the United States. He is a crook, a thug, and a con artist. He is also a perjurer. And this is the guy, you see. Now, Gates has also been on this Iraq study group. This, oh my God. This organization that was put together, who's on it? James Baker and who's the Lee Hamilton? Or, I guess they're the co-chairs of this rubber stamp group of people who are trying to figure out what to do with Bush's war. Gates has been on that in that group, and now he says, okay, well, see, the findings of the Iraq Study Group are supposed to be presented to somebody. Hell, I don't know to whom next week. So Gates says, well, I'm not going to participate. I'm getting out of there because now I've been nominated to be Secretary of Defense. The Iraq Study Group, I can tell you right now, you don't have to, you know, all you have to be is a high school graduate to figure this one out. The Iraq Survey Group, I guess it's Iraq Survey, Iraq Study, I don't know, I don't care. This group put together, they are going to say that we have to stay the course, but perhaps begin disengagement as soon as the Iraqis can stand up. We'll stand down. Fall back. Bring in more. Bring in fewer. Let's stop the rotation. It's going to be a confusing, gibberish, jabberwocky mess. It's going to be like something out of Lewis Carroll. It's not going to make any sense at all. Gates is a liar. He's a perjurer. He is also like so many people in the Bush crime family right now who are in policy positions. In other words, they write the policy. He's up to his neck in blood. So what's going to happen? Now, the best piece I can send you to is TomPaine.com and read Ray McGovern's The Cheney Gates Cabal. And there's stuff at Infowars.net. There's stuff at truthout.org. Jason Leopold has written. Just please do this. Please do your research on Gates so you can begin the phone calls, right? Here we go again. Okay, so we can call our senators and say, no, don't confirm this guy.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. I was listening to Bill Crowley's newscast a couple of times tonight now, and he mentions that Lieberman has instructed his colleagues to refer to him as a Democrat when he gets back into the Senate. And Harry Reid has made it clear that Lieberman will maintain his seniority. And I'm wondering about that. Here's a guy who abandoned the Democratic Party, Lieberman. He abandoned the Democratic Party after he was defeated, fair and square, by Ned Lamont. The Democratic Party abandoned Ned Lamont, but Lieberman left and said, "Okay, I'm going to be an independent." So now he is told, and has been told, that his seniority, Lieberman's seniority, would be still be waiting for him if somehow he won re-election. I've been reading David Sirota's article, lengthy article here at inthesetimes.com, Learning from Lamont. It just went up today, and Sirota is the he was a strategist and rapid response staffer for Ned Lamont's Senate campaign against pro-war Joe Lieberman. Awful lot of pro-war Democrats are in positions of power now. It's going to be very weird to see what happens. But if you want to read a real eye-opener, go to inthesetimes.com and find the article Learning from Lamont, written by David Sirota, S-I-R-O-T-A. You know David Sirota's writing. During the break, I was just reading this, and it's I don't know. I'm glad the Nazis have had their asses kicked, but I just hope that I don't know what I hope at this point. Let's go back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Prescott, Arizona. Ron, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, good evening, Mike. I'm the true conservative, called in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
I called Alex Jones' show 2 days ago and urged his listeners to contact their Congress critters and demand that they oppose Pelosi for Speaker, that they demand that investigations be launched immediately into the lies that were told to get us into the war with Iraq, for the no big contracts, those two things specifically, and to target Bush, Cheney, Rummy, and Rice specifically, and especially Halliburton. And I can tell you a quick story on what happened with Waxman. You know Henry Waxman.
Yes, I certainly know who he is, right.
The Fairfax District in California, mm-hmm. L.A. John Rappaport, and you know him too, I'm sure.
Yes, I know the name. I know these people's names, right.
Ran against him in the 80s,
right.
And his people conducted exit polls, and Rappaport got 60%, Waxman got 40%, and the official lie, fraudulent count was 95% for Waxman, 5% for Rappaport.
Well, I wasn't aware of what you just said. I don't know anything about that. But for the purpose of your phone call, let's okay, what else?
Okay. And the reason why we have to demand that our Congress critters launch investigations, even if you don't want to say impeachment, just say do conduct, demand it. When you contact your Congress critters, demand they conduct investigations concerning the Iraq war. And the reason why is because there's a certain man who has been running the White House, the government, since January 20 of 1981, and he's still running it. And he's an old man. He's 84 years old. He lives in Kennebunkport, Maine. And he is running it for the Rockefeller family. And he has been since January 20, 1981, and he'll continue to run it until he's dead.
You're talking about George Herbert Bush.
George Herbert Walker Poppy Bush, right. Who was head of CIA. He was involved in the JFK assassination. He was involved in just about every criminal act you can think of, and he's the actual drug czar of the Western Hemisphere for the Rockefeller family. He runs the drugs. Mena, Arkansas. The Clintons work for him. That's why he calls Bill Clinton his son. And they vacation together.
Well, what can I, Ron, what can I say? You've tossed out too many things for me to even attempt to discuss. I'm familiar with your point of view. I've seen that point of view laid out all over the place. I don't know if it's true or not. I certainly respect you enough to let you say it on this program. I don't know that I agree with it, but that may just be because I'm ignorant.
Well, the main thing is the people, Republicans and Democrats, both have to demand investigations, at least those who are Americans and patriots.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Ron, thank you. I hope to hear from you again. You take care. We always got to demand something, don't we? I mean, why don't things just work? Well, I have a friend in Manhattan, Illinois, who would tell me why things don't work. And that's because, in his opinion, Republicans and Democrats are equally corrupt. They're just two eyes in the same skull. You know, looking out at a world of death and destruction that they have both participated in creating. I don't know. I'm just getting very confused. I will say that I'm very, 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 very glad that the Bush crime family has been at least taken out of gear. I won't say that it's been stopped, but it's in just kind of speeding along in neutral. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I have gotten several emails from listeners in Oz in the past, since we went back on the air, from Australia. And I just want to say thank you very much to the people who listen online in that country, some of whom are Americans and some of whom are not. But it's very much appreciated when you take the time to write us an email. And by us, I'm not using the royal first person plural. I mean Kathy and me and Nova M people. I mean, when you write to us, you're writing to us. But it just, it's nice to know that people in Oz are listening. Right, Catherine? Absolutely, she says. All right. Back to phone calls here. Ron is calling from Wellsboro, PA. Ron, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. Hey. I'm pretty befuddled right now. I've been listening to you for the whole of the program, and whatever happened in the election just it seems to have left me. I just felt completely like flat.
You're starting to get that feeling too, huh?
Well, yeah, I spent a good part of the day on the blog today, you know, like writing back and forth to people, and I got a pretty good education on Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not very optimistic about what she's going to be able to do. I think, you know.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you that, Ron.
Sure.
Nancy Pelosi, you know, she was all during the campaign. Do you want that San Francisco attitude? San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi comes from a city which I believe voted to impeach Bush. Didn't San Francisco say? Like so many, resolutions were passed calling for his impeachment and removal from office. I believe San Francisco is one of those cities. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I mean, Nancy may be on her way to becoming, and apparently she is, the first female speaker of the House. But on the other hand, she's a member of Congress from a specific district.
Right.
And that includes San Francisco, a city that... some time ago, passed a resolution. We've got a lot of listeners out there. If this is not true, somebody send me an email. But passed a resolution calling for Bush's impeachment. So, if Ms. Pelosi is going to ignore her own constituents and what appears to be an overwhelming majority, let's not get carried away, Malloy. An overwhelming plurality of Americans who are calling for the impeachment. Of these people because of their criminal activity. I mean, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? So I'm sharing the same feeling you're sharing, Ron.
Yeah, and then, you know, Conyers kind of like toeing the line, too. It's sort of dismaying. And, I'll just want to ask one little quick question, and then I'll pass the baton to someone else. But, you know, you were going on, talking about the Graves potential nomination, and the one question that kept going through my mind is like, it's going to be so like cliche. How do these people live with themselves? I mean, you know, I cannot get out of my mind that John Hopkins study. You know, 655,000 people are not on the planet anymore.
Yeah.
I've been on the planet long enough to remember, you know, a lot about the Iran-Contra affair. I mean, you know, as soon as Reagan was elected, I felt like, you know, there was definitely a sea change in the culture, and it just has not gotten any better.
That's true.
It's just, you know, I think about these people, and I'm like going, are they a different species or what? But
well, politically and culturally, they are. You're talking about the conservative mindset?
Well, I'm just talking about the mindset that's so self-justifying, whatever political stripe, that they can just go out and like wholesale kill people. I don't get it.
Right. Well, I don't either. I don't either. And it's something that has staggered me. I'm not a religious person. I've said before, I'm a full-blown grade A, a class number one atheist.
But I'm intrigued by people who do believe in religious dogma, who do believe that there are spirits flying around and cloud beings who order things and give free will or dispense justice and all the mythology that goes with all the religions. I'm not picking any particular religion. I think they're all nuts, wacko. But on the other hand, how can people who say that they believe in a religion whose primary avatar was a person of peace, how can those people be as covered in gore and blood and teeth, hair, and eyeballs and torture and death and destruction and still go into their house of worship on a Sunday and act pious? That's the part that intrigues me, Ron.
Well, it's that Stanley Milgram. You remember him, the psychologist? Who did that study at Yale about obedience to authority?
Yes.
I mean, he asked the question, you know, it's like, how could people, like, work in the death camps all day and then go home and bounce their daughter on her knees?
Yeah.
How did they not have cognitive dissonance? I mean, you know, the federal government shut down the study because they thought it was cruel because, you know, if you read that study, like, out of 38 test subjects, I think only a couple people decided not to administer, like, a lethal shock to somebody.
Yes.
It's like, I'm bewildered by all that.
I am too, and I've been reading more and more lately. The DNA tests are showing that Homo sapiens interbred with Neanderthals. As a matter of fact, there is a there's a school of thought that says anyone who has red hair is displaying a primary characteristic of the Neanderthals, who eventually died out as a separate species, but. But, you know, 100,000 years ago, when Homo sapiens came out of Africa and went north, bred with Neanderthals, and I'm just wondering, that's a long way around of saying, I'm wondering about the genetic structure of the people you're talking about, that there must be something, it's either the Out of Africa group or it's the Neanderthal group that brought with it this gene that seems to be able to, as you said, deal in death all day and then go home and bounce their children on their laps.
I don't know. The ruthlessness just gets me. I'm not capable of, like, processing it emotionally. Sometimes I'll just break down, you know. If I'm, like, getting too into it and, like, I'm reading, like, something and I read something about, like, some child that was, like, mangled or, like, you know, they lost their pet. You know, I'll just sit there.
I can't do it anymore. I've maxed out. And it's not about me. It's about the dead parents and the dead children and the children with their eyes blown off. So it's not about me. But just from my point of view, to continue to see this, to know that there are people like me, adults, who are making decisions that result in this tearing to pieces of little kids' bodies. I can't handle that, Ron. I'm like you. I just want to run screaming into the woods and tell them all to F off. I've had enough. I don't want anything to do with them. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
And by that, I guess I mean 99% of the human race.
Well, I mean, no matter what they say, this is the reason why impeachment is so important, and we're going to have to fight for it. You know, I used to think, you know, that there were these givens about our culture, you know, that you know, we're a culture of democracy and liberty and that sort of thing. Nah, we have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight for it. They're not going to give it up.
Yeah.
They can change parties, but they're still going to not. Yeah, there's, I don't know. It's like us regular Joes, you know, like we just sit around thinking, hey, everything's okay, but it's not. It's, I don't know. I'm going off the deep end here.
It just, to quote the title of a book I read a number of years ago, it just makes me want to holler. All right, Ron, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in.
Take care, Mike.
All right, you too. You too. Sometimes I wish I had the kind of program where, you know, I could sit here and be all confident, like a lot of right-wingers do, like even, I guess, some liberals. You know, be all confident and uplifting and be an inspiration to anyone who happens to stumble across this program. But that's no. That's not the case. I'm like Ron. I just, you know, I can be watching some of this 1 minute playing with Molly, and the next minute I'm sitting there sobbing. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind of vengeful whim.
an M1 tank and he would shoot Saddam.
It's about 21 past. Yeah, there are banana PSAs. Is that what I just heard on the net stream anyway? Banana PSA. Oh my God, I had no idea.
I thought that came through the radio. I thought that was just some subliminal suggestion. I was gonna go upstairs and reach for the dome.
All right, Kathy, produce the program, please. I'm begging you. All right, we got this email in from Ron. I guess Ron lives in San Francisco. Ron writes, some time ago, San Francisco passed an immediately out of Iraq resolution, which Pelosi disregarded. Only this week did San Francisco pass an impeachment resolution. Okay. Well, I figured somebody would correct that for us. All right, back to your phone calls. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the program.
I don't know, Mike. You've been kind of rough on me tonight, buddy. You know, first you had to talk about my buddy Pukerin.
That seems to want to get into it with, the thing about Charlie Rangel, he may be an old man. I think he's 76, but this is a guy who won the Bronze Star in Korea. He's been in combat.
yeah.
I don't know about the Mississippi representative. I have
no idea. He served in Sunday school.
He served in Sunday school?
Yeah, he served in a Sunday school class somewhere. That's about the only service he's ever done.
I got you. Okay.
But anyway, I'm going to skip him because I got something really important to tell you.
All right. Share it with us.
I have had discussions with Nancy Pelosi's office again.
You're kidding.
No, and
they still talk to you, Sarge?
Yeah, can you believe that?
No.
But actually, the first day, I called on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the first one I talked to was kind of blew me off, and I kind of I gave him a time check there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called back later, and I talked to another lady, and she said, well, wait a minute, tell me about this Katrina stuff. I'm really interested. And she sat there and talked to me for so long that I actually started begging her to get off the phone with me.
Huh.
That I had other calls I wanted to make, and I'd appreciate it if we could get together sometime and discuss it. And she said, most definitely. In fact, I tell you what I want to do. I want to get you with Representative Clyburn, because our office and his office works really close on this, and he's got a real, real major interest in the Katrina goings on, and so he is definitely going to want to talk to you, as we are.
This is about maybe getting some help in the parts of the Mississippi coast that you are intimately familiar with.
That's right, and they're even... they have even told me we might be asking you to come and testify before a hearing. If we get it that far, which we hope to, we are going to probably ask you to come. We may subpoena you to come, but we do want to hear your stories. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you everything I got. I'll tell you every story I know.
That would be great, Sarge. I hope that comes to pass. I think you'd make a good witness.
But the one thing that I will not do is I'm not going to give you the first name of the first source until I know for sure you're going to back up what you're saying.
All right, now, the first name. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're not going to go there to grandstand.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not serious, to hell with them.
Right, I understand
right.
that.
Don't waste my time by giving me false hope.
Sure.
And then letting me down, and then I put my witnesses on the line, the people at my sources on the line, and leave them out there hanging, because these people like Pickering and Lott and Barber and all these. Hey, what I know. They'll get somebody killed. So we can't be playing this game.
Oh, right. Absolutely. You are in Mississippi.
And not that Mississippi makes that much difference, but when
it makes a hell of a difference, my friend.
When you start tampering with that kind of power, they'll put a snake in your bed just as quick as you can say, "Don't put a snake in my bed." I would love to see you testify before Congress as a witness about what is going on.
Mike, it's not about me. It's really, and you know that it's never been about me. But before I give them the name of my sources, I don't want to see my sources jeopardized. I don't want their lives hung out on the line, because you can put mine on the line. Okay, I've done that.
Right.
But don't put them on the line.
I got you. No. I got you. Well,
and by the way, my mother was a redhead too. So
I'm sorry about that. I'm only a reporter.
Sarge, I'm only picking, buddy. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Keep us posted. I appreciate you checking in. All right. That would be great. Sarge has been very active on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, where Katrina caused so much damage, where Katrina really hit. And he has been down there for the past 14, 15 months fighting like a madman to try to get some justice for the people down there. Black and white, rich and poor, doesn't matter to Sarge. I'd love to see him testify. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. This email here from Craig in Boone, North Carolina. I'm just going to quote it verbatim. Here's what he writes. Coming from an entire family of combat vets and being livid with these killers in charge, could you say on the air that tomorrow is Veterans Day? Let's force Congress to really help our vets. Pass the babble and the goddamn yellow ribbon bumper stickers. Republicans never really help vets. And let's have a moment of heart time for all the people in the world now, since 2001, the dead, the murdered, the maimed, the refugeed, and their families whose lives were shattered for nothing. Craig in Boone, NC. Yeah, I hear you. Monday is the official holiday, and we'll have something to say Monday night about the vets. But tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day. I remember my mother passed away a couple of years ago at the age of almost 90, telling me of what Veterans Day really started out as. She was 3 years old, I think, when World War I ended, in 1918, right, Kathy? I think it ended in 1918. The 11th hour of the 11th month, the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, November 11th at 11 a.m. in the morning, the Treaty of Versailles was signed, which instantly set up and guaranteed World War II. And now it's metamorphosed into Veterans Day. I don't understand how a single Republican in the Senate or the House in D.C. or any state legislature or any governor's office, any elected Republican anywhere in this country can show his or her face on Veterans Day. I really don't. Republicans, especially on the national level, have done every single thing they could, most of it behind closed doors and surreptitiously, to utterly gut and destroy veterans' benefits. On the other hand, the most visible of these bastards have sent another generation of young Americans into a combat that was lost the day it began. 20,000, 25,000, 30,000 wounded, maimed American soldiers. For what? For what? And approaching 3,000 dead. For what? I would invite any Republican anywhere in the country,
anywhere on the planet to call this program tonight, Monday, next week, 20 years from now, and tell me what this war was about and how these dead Americans and dead Iraqis, how the taking of their lives was justified. You can't do it. Deep breath. Gilbert is calling from Phoenix. Gilbert, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Gilbert.
Hello, America. You know, Mike, I talked with you almost 2 weeks to the day that you returned to the airwaves, like rising like the Phoenix bird.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember. Right, I got you.
And I'm so glad that America, responsible Americans from all parties, Democrat, Republican, Independents, rose up, woke up, and finally voted these criminals from this no-do-nothing Congress out.
I hear you.
Now, there's a lot of work to be done, and I've been hearing a lot of gloating, and it's okay to celebrate. But Craig's email stole my thunder. We have men and women in harm's way, and we got a lot of hard work to do. We have American cities that haven't been restored from a national disaster. So being, of course, Veterans Day coming up, we have to have a political solution. These brave men and women have already done their job, and their job is not to be policing nation building. And what we need to do is to bring out to America that we will not cut and run like they claim that we would do, but we need to seek out a political solution to bring them home. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. I salute all veterans. We are proud of you as Americans. We have some that have passed away here doing their duty, Lori Paestua, Pat Tillman from San Jose, California, and recently West Phoenix Armijo. So I'd just like to salute them. I'm sorry for their loss, doing their duty for our country with failed leadership. So, Mike, that's all I have to say for now, and I will call again soon.
All right. Thanks, Gilbert. I appreciate it. Take care. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. Alex, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Hey, Alex.
I talked to you when you came back on the air in the morning with Mike Newcomb.
Wait, Alex, are you on a speakerphone or what?
No, I've got like a phone that's on my ear. It's an earbud. I got to get out of another room and go into a bigger one.
Yeah, if you could, because you're about to blow the transmitter in Phoenix and destroy the entire internet.
Okay, we don't want to do that.
No, no. Let's go. Can we go to another room?
Yeah, I'm going to another room now.
Okay.
Okay, I got 2 points to make. One of my client's sons joined the Coast Guard because he wanted to do his part, but he really didn't believe in going over there and killing people.
Right.
So he said he would protect his shores by joining the Coast Guard and be a medic while when he gets out to become a marine biologist.
Uh-huh.
Well, his crew of 12 medics, 2 weeks before Labor Day weekend, got transferred to Baghdad. And on Labor Day weekend, Bush came out and said, "We thank the Coast Guard for their contribution to the effort." Well, Chuckle Boy didn't have the guts enough to say that 12 medics were killed on that helicopter that day.
Mm.
And the one that I do know is Kevin Gillespie's son, Anthony Gillespie. And Anthony Gillespie was her only son. Her only son.
Mm.
Now, I have 10 myself, but I seem to be fortunate, but even if I lost one of them, I don't know how I would deal with that. And Kevin, every day, you know, I haven't talked with her since Labor Day weekend when I went over and did some extra work for her and tried to console her. And there's no consoling when a mother loses her son like that.
No.
None whatsoever. And with it being Labor Day weekend, it was really, I tried hard to get in last night and today, and I just wanted to make sure that we did get that across. But, you know, a lot of people, this ancient history stuff like Iran-Contra affair.
Right.
One of our people here locally wrote in to the local newspaper, and they were always talking about Reagan's strength was overestimated. The letter implies that von Rengel stood down the Iranians during the hostage crisis. In here, in the letter, it sets it straight. Actually, the whole hostage situation happened prior to Reagan being elected, and the hostages were released due to deal and negotiations by the Carter administration prior to the actual release, which occurred on January 20, 1981, the day of Reagan's inauguration.
Well, as you know, I lived through that and have read as much as I can get my hands on about it. And as far as Reagan's involvement, he didn't stand anyone down. He didn't stare anyone down. As a matter of fact, It was the Reagan operatives, which includes George Herbert Walker Bush, that prolonged the U.S. hostage affair.
They could use it for their political cannon fodder.
Sure.
Go after Carter.
Sure. Republicans are evil, murderous bastards. They are now. They were 20 years ago. They were 40 years ago. In modern political history, they have always been evil, and they will continue to be evil.
Well, and it even goes on to fact here to say that 2 years later, the Marine barracks in Beirut were bombed, and 200 Marines died. No decisive military might was ever applied then, and even after that. In fact, in 86, the Iranians were sold weapons to finance the counterinsurgency against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
Well, you know what happened the day after the Marine barracks were bombed in Lebanon? I think it was the day after. In Beirut, Reagan ordered the invasion of Grenada, one of the islands in the West Indies, because the Cubans had a couple of farmers there or construction workers. That was the war that Reagan ordered, where U.S. military personnel had to get on payphones on the island Grenada with their credit cards and call back and ask for airstrikes or weaponry or food. So there was a massive response to the bombing in Lebanon. It was the invasion of Grenada, for God's sake.
Well, the other thing is, you know, these guys keep rewriting history, and there's a lot of us that are still old enough to not believe in that stupidity.
Right.
And it even says here, ends up the strong-willed stance against terrorism during the Reagan era seems to have lost something in the face of history. Yeah, somebody's rewriting it.
Sure.
But we're still getting back to the people that we've lost. We can't get them back. And even, you know, when the Nancy Pelosi goes and, you know, all of a sudden she's going to become Pelosi light now that she's in charge. You know, I don't know how this whole thing's going. And just like a couple of the other callers earlier felt, including the guy from Gilbert, has all this, you know, been done for nothing? You know, and, you know, after the Globe, I actually called on Mike the other morning and I said, you know, we should really think whether you believe in karma or whatever it is. If you look at Katrina and then you look at Texas, well, when Texas was going to be nailed, they had people going 7 miles an hour for 3 days, but they sure just got the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But whereas in Katrina, well, you know, they just got flooded again 3 weeks ago, and they're still having problems, not along all the debauchery, let alone what Halliburton's doing over there with all their money. You know, and that's another thing where they have top secret files that are nailed and covered as top secret, and then, oh, you can't look at that because that's, you know, the billions of dollars that they've been given.
Right, it's top secret. All right, I got you, Alex, loud and clear. Do call in again. I got to move on. We have a break here, okay?
Absolutely. God bless you, Mike.
Thanks, Alex. You take care. We'll be back, Truth Seekers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Wow, Kathy, we made it through another week. 2 weeks with Nova M Radio, and we haven't been fired yet. Thanks to our crew in Phoenix, the Nova M folks who make this all possible. The program is engineered tonight by Ian Huff. Billy Foster is our associate producer, handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, webmaster at MikeMalloy.com, and Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And as you know, podcasting and downloads of this program are available and NovaMradio.com. That's through Ben, right? I don't know how it works, but it works. The executive producer of this program, she who must be obeyed, Catherine Bay. Tim is calling from San Francisco. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, good buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Tim. How are you?
All right, my brother. It's so wonderful to have you back, man.
It is indeed.
Yeah, I used to talk to you before as Tim from South Dakota, but, like, I moved back to California now. So now
you're Tim from San Francisco.
Well, that's where I originally was from. Then I moved to South Dakota for a while, and I was dealing with the passion, that abortion ban thing. I thought, well, this isn't going to be a happy place to live anymore. So I moved back here.
I'm glad you're somewhere. Everybody has
Thank
to be
you,
somewhere, Tim.
You got that right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, hey, I just want to tell you, it's like now, you hear that?
Yes.
That is the breath of a man who, for the first time in about 25 years, is able to say, I'm breathing freedom again. Ever since Reagan, I started, you know, checking out all this stuff, and a lot of the stuff that's coming up now, I saw like 20 years ago happening, and I wrote about it, but I guess not the right people read it, so it's like, you know, just watching this stuff happening just completely broke my heart. But thank God on Tuesday, at least we, for a brief moment, we saved ourselves for a little happiness, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just hope that the things are going to work out. We have come very close to losing this republic,
and a
lot of people who have slid us towards losing the republic have D's after their names. So I hope that we have caught a breather here.
Oh God, yeah.
Where we can continue to organize and continue to remove from positions of power, people who are operating against the Constitution and the people of the United States. And in some instances, that does include Democrats. I'm sorry, I know a lot of Democrats don't like to hear me say that, but it is the truth, and I think
right.
They know it.
Yeah, right here in California, we got two senators and a congressman, and I'd be real, real happy if we could slide them on out and get somebody better in.
Well, that's what the democratic process is supposed to be about. If it's not tampered with, if people aren't driven off the rolls, if the voting machines or the polling places work, if it is to allow Americans uniquely, I think, in most of the world to make decisions that are unlike political decisions, that are unlike any other, even democracy. Most other democracies are parliamentary systems. So
mm-hmm.
we have a system that is not unique, but nearly so. And if it's tampered with or altered or choked, then game over.
That's right. That's right. It's the death of our country. And, you know, I'm thinking they really need to dust off the books on RICO and just start going at the Bush crime family.
Well,
that
would be a good idea. All right, Tim, let me move on. Thanks.
Okay, my brother. Hey, God bless you. And again, I'm so happy to hear you back.
Well, I appreciate it.
You're the only one ever lets me have a voice, and I'm very grateful.
Okay.
All right. Bye, brother.
All right, Tim. Take care. Larry is calling from Phoenix. Larry, welcome to the program.
It's really great to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I call because I want to just make it clear to people I really have trust and faith in Nancy Pelosi. I've heard her on Randy's show, and I know she's really smart, and I think she's really going to do the right thing by the people.
I hope so. Of
the United States, and we just got to keep talking truth to power so we can bring more people on board. There's a lot of people who've never been exposed to the truth. And they will jump right on as soon as we just get through to them. And,
well, that's
and
a good point. Yeah,
when,
that's a
one
good
thing,
point.
One thing we really got to do is we got to get Negroponte out of there, out of Iraq, and we got to start deconstructing the death squads that he's been setting up. We got to get food, water, and what people need back into Iraq and stop the genocide. I see it as genocide.
Yeah, it is, and it's been going on since 1991, and three American presidents have participated, Pappy Bush, Bill Clinton, and Bush Jr., and if ever a country has been murdered, destroyed, dismembered by the United States, it is certainly Iraq. This has been, what are we into now, the 15th year of bombing and depleted uranium, and economic sanctions, and invasions, and killing. Jesus Christ, when you stop to think about it, Larry, we have been torturing the people of Iraq since 1991. It is almost incomprehensible. We have been involved in murdering people in Iraq longer than any other U.S. military involvement in our history.
We have killed
hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, and I just we don't talk about this enough. I just wonder how many people are aware that for 15 years, we have been murdering people who have done nothing to us. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. We'll talk again. Thank you,
Mike. All right. I appreciate it. 15 years we've been doing this. Jesus, God. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.